What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Inside the Five. It's Griff.
It's Will.
Stop.
And no cold opening this episode. You guys will hear the intro music. We're going to be getting into all things NFL this episode. We actually have an interesting week coming up where the next episode we put out this week is going to have nothing to do with football, but everything to do with every other sport going on around the world. So trying out a bit new of a format this week, letting you guys know ahead of time. We're going to be covering all things that went down in week 7 of the NFL, and then we'll be moving on to our predictions for week 8. It's going to be a hell of an episode. Will, what do we say?
Let's do it.
We're going to get things started right away on Thursday Night Football, week 7. An interesting matchup between an interconference foe, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, go down. Jacksonville improves to 5-2. They win the game 31-24. Overall, I just want to lead off this game by saying, like, what was this game? This was awful, and this does not give me any confidence in Jacksonville. It doesn't give me any confidence in a team that I put a lot of hype on at the beginning of the season, New Orleans. I think that this was a loss game. Stav, I want you to talk me out of it for Jacksonville.
All right, I can talk you out of it for Jacksonville. Travis Etienne is a top-tier back in the NFL, and week in and week out, he gets better. So if you look at how he played week 1 and compare it to how he's done now, he's scoring 2 touchdowns, it feels like, every single game. And long story short, the Mercedes Superdome in Louisiana isn't an easy environment to play in, especially in a primetime game. And for you to go in and score 31 points, your defense held their own as well. I think that this is a very, I don't want to say impressive win for the Jaguars, but this is what you have to do if you're Jacksonville, right? You're coming off of a short week, and you're flying back from London as well. Keep that in mind. They've been in London for basically half the month. And you come back into the United States, and you're playing on a short schedule on Thursday Night Football, and you go in and you get the job done. It's not an easy way. It's not an easy schedule flip. They managed. They got the job done. They came out firing. They had a really good first half. They kind of let New Orleans back into it in the second half. Alvin Kamara got all these dump downs. But that defensive pressure for Jacksonville really held their own. If you watch the game, Derek Carr really had nothing. He had nothing deep. They made him check down, check down, check down, check down. And Jacksonville held their own. They forced him to 4th and goal twice. So all things considered, this is a good win for Jacksonville. You'd rather have a sloppy win and be 5-2 than a good loss and be 4-3.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I think Travis Etienne, I was going to say the same thing. He got himself going this year off in London the past couple of weeks. He really got it going with getting some touchdowns, and he did it again on Thursday Night Football. I know Doug Peterson talked about getting Christian Kirk more involved in the offense, and he's gotten 3 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So that offense, regardless of the sloppy game that they had on Thursday, is pretty solid. Their defense held their own, like you said, Stav, but I think that offense has a lot more that they can do, especially Calvin Ridley kind of slowing down. He had a great week 1 and kind of just hasn't been the same since. I'm hoping that he can kind of get back and that offense becomes more electric, because they have the capabilities to do so, and they have the capabilities to score 31 points in a game. They can do that multiple weeks, week in, week out. They have the offense for it, especially with Travis Etienne running the ball the way he is.
Yeah, in New Orleans, falling down. It's been a rough few weeks for them. And Derek Carr in the question. They got Jameis Winston behind him, one of the better, you could say, more serviceable backups in the league. Maybe they take a chance with him. We've been talking about it here on the podcast with Jameis Winston. And I guess we'll move on to our Sunday slate of games. A couple of teams that wish that they may have Jameis Winston right now. Between the Raiders and the Bears, we saw a Division II quarterback, Tyson Bagent, not only go out there and play a game, but win it against Las Vegas. And of course, that's against Brian Hoyer, and Aiden O'Connell was out there for a little bit. But at the same time, to go out there, throw 29 times, complete 21 of them. You know, he only threw for 162 yards. He got his passing touchdown in there. To go out there and win the game, that's super impressive. That's one of the more impressive performances that we're going to see throughout the season, because you got to think about, you know, this guy is going from playing against Division II talent to playing against the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a crazy win. Obviously, that run game in Chicago was awesome this past week, and Deonta Foreman, who's kind of leading the charge after they've had some injuries. I know Khalil Herbert's out for the season. That's really going to hurt them. They're looking for Justin Fields to come back in this. At the same time, they're trying to get a pick. They have their pick. They also have Carolina's pick, correct, Stav?
Yep.
And winning games is something that Chicago does when they shouldn't. It's weird. They do it every year. And this is one of those games that show me a sign where it's like they have the potential to have maybe two out of the top three picks. For some reason, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Justin Fields is going to come back. He's shown some signs of what he's capable of doing. DJ Moore, same with him. And DJ Moore led the team in receiving. He didn't have much, but with a Division II quarterback at quarterback, you know, he's doing everything he can. So imagine if Justin Fields is throwing him the ball. I don't hate Chicago right now in the spot that they're in. You know, Green Bay is struggling. Minnesota, you don't know what's up with them. There's just a lot of things going on in the NFC North. It's scary. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm saying that their schedule isn't as tough as maybe Bears fans want it to be to get those top picks. Stav, I'm not sure. Do you think that, you know, Justin Fields comes back, especially after a win like this, and kind of has a little bit of inspiration when you play inspired football? I mean, there's not many things that it can stop you.
I mean, he should come back and play the way that we expect him to, right? There was so much hype on Justin Fields prior to the season, and it didn't live up. They were talking about benching him possibly probably 3 weeks into the season. Then he had the excellent game against Washington Thursday night a few weeks back, and the hype was back on, and then it kind of fell again last week after he got hurt. So Badgett comes in, and he gets the job done. So it's kind of a weird spot if you're a Bears fan, because you're right. You don't necessarily have to tank to get the first overall pick. You can try and win your games and still end up with the number one pick. But what do you do with that number one pick if Justin Fields is actually good? So you're going to trade back. There's so much that you can do with it. And I feel like if I'm a Bears fan, or if I'm the Bears right now, you just try and win. You try to make things interesting, because what's that? Their second win on the year, right? So they're sitting at 2-4 or 2-5. I don't know if they've had their bye yet. But they have two wins. We know that. So you can easily go on a little bit of a run. What are they?
I'm muted, of course. 2-5.
They're 2-5, right? So you go on like you win the next 2 weeks, maybe three. You're sitting at 500, 5-5. That's a good spot to be in, especially in the NFC North, where no other team. I mean, Detroit is probably the clear favorite, but other than that, 2-4 is kind of up in the air. So it's going to be an interesting spot for the Bears. Fields should come back and do his best and play some good ball like we know he can.
I mean, I feel like the Bears, like, winning games in this situation doesn't necessarily hurt them as much as, like, we would think. I feel like they always find a way to win games when we feel like they should just be tanking. But, I mean, the Bears don't have a bye week until week 13, and relatively until then, they don't really play anyone tough besides when they get to, like, the Lions and the Vikings before their bye week. So, granted, they could probably sneak in another win, but I think not having the first pick doesn't necessarily hurt them. This draft class is pretty stacked, so I feel like adding maybe some of the necessary weapons for Justin Fields to succeed, and maybe even a defensive pick, will actually help this team, because they somehow find a way to win games. I mean, the D2 quarterback just went in and beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, that, I don't even know, that doesn't even comprehend in my brain. Like, what do you, like, how, as the Raiders, do you allow it to happen? Like, their defense is actually not awful. Like, how?
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, this team in Chicago, they aren't terrible. They have weapons, and this draft could only do good things to them, if not only if they didn't have the first pick, but if they do have the first pick, they could move back, get another first rounder in there, get some value in those later rounds as well. getting a few picks back. There's so many people at so many different positions. The tight end class is stacked this year, and I know that they have Cole Kmet, but you could go out and get a guy like Brock Bowers, who could be, I mean, the next great tight end in this league. You have Maserati Marv Harrison, as the dude said, oh my God, 30 times this weekend on an Ohio State broadcast. That was, and by the way, I looked into that. Actually, my roommate looked into that. That was the first time he's ever been called Maserati Marv Harrison. So whatever his name is on Fox was trying to stick that nickname on Marvin Harrison. That was embarrassing. It was stupid. It was awful. But I mean, you want to talk about a guy that could change a franchise that's not a quarterback. There's one right there. Brock Bowers, another guy. And there's a few guys, even if they want to go out and take a quarterback late in the first round, early in the second round, there's guys there as well. So, you know, a lot of ways that this team could go for the rest of the season. And you kind of want to talk about a few teams that are similar to that. How about we talk a little bit about this game between the Cleveland Browns and the Indianapolis Colts. I kind of have to lead off by saying, was this game of the week? It was everything that the Browns do. Obviously, Deshaun Watson goes down. P.J. Walker, XFL MVP, steps in. P.J. Walker against Gardner Minshew was everything that we wanted it to be. I mean, this was awesome. And Cleveland improves to 4-2. The AFC North is stirring up. We'll talk about the Steelers soon. They're also 4-2. And the only thing that's holding back this Cleveland team is, I feel like we said at the beginning of the season, we're just waiting for Deshaun Watson to be who Deshaun Watson is, Will. Do we see that happening? Jerome Ford is obviously there, and he's a great running back. No, Nick Chubb the rest of the season. I think that they'll be all right. I just don't have any confidence in Deshaun Watson. We thought that he could come through, another guy that really hasn't showed anything. They come out with a tough win this week, a high-scoring matchup. They're 4-2. What's the direction of this ball club?
Obviously, Jerome Ford, he's turning into becoming a really great running back, potentially has a very high ceiling, as we're seeing. He broke out for a crazy run on Sunday. And this Browns team somehow finds a way to win games, and they're scoring a lot of points. And I start to question, and this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I actually think P.J. Walker might be better than Deshaun Watson at this point in his career. Like, obviously, Deshaun Watson had to fall off, comes back, but, like, they're winning games with him, and that offense is looking pretty decent. Deshaun Watson has not found himself since returning, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. He will not, like, at this point, they're better off taking for a draft pick and getting a quarterback and then having someone else start for them. They will be more successful. What have they done with him? I would like to know, what have they done with him?
Stop. If you're on the podcast,
they wasted their time and money.
Well,
Stop doesn't agree with you. You don't say anything.
What have they done with P.J. Walker? They're 2-0 with him, and
they beat the 49ers, though. They beat the 49ers. Like,
well, the
Sean
weather
Walker
was
did not beat the 49ers.
P.J. Walker didn't do anything in that game.
he's still out there. Like, at this point,
defense,
like, who would you rather have? You're winning games.
He's a quarterback that won a game in the NFL against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, fucking Trevor Badgett won a game against the Raiders. I'm not saying that. I mean, won a game too. It's P.J. Walker's not better than Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's dealing with his own injuries and everything like that.
The defense has not been good.
What did P.J. Walker do?
He won an XFL MVP, bro.
Them competitive. Like the Browns go out there and they suck.
The defense scored the touchdowns for them.
Still.
He's just a guy you can, you know, rally around, you know?
I mean, P.J. Walker went 15 of 32 for 175 yards and threw a pick. Like, I'm not saying P.J. Walker's the GOAT. Jerome Ford had 10 rushes, or 11 rushes, 74 yards, and a touchdown.
I mean, I'm not saying he's like the greatest of all time. I'm saying as of right now, he's playing a lot better. Granted, he's hurt. Like, they're doing better.
Who's hurt?
Deshaun Watson, bud.
Yeah, I know. And that's why P.J. Walker's in.
I'm just saying, like, he's playing better than he has been at the beginning of the year, like when he wasn't hurt.
You're saying he's playing better now?
Well, I mean,
I know. I don't know.
I'll moderate. Like, they're playing better.
I believe that Will is trying to say that PJ Walker going out there and winning games, winning big games, winning games of high scoring totals, just going out there and beating the quarterback of games is better for the organization currently than Deshaun Watson would be.
He's doing more for them, like, regardless. Like, I get he's hurt.
That's Will's argument.
Like, he's like, it's completely different. I feel like they're playing so much better. Like, they like the energy is there.
PJ Walker also fumbled the ball.
Deshaun Watson comes in to start the game, and then he gets hurt. And then they go out there and win a game. Like, you would expect them to lose the game if PJ Walker.
Did you see what the defense did? They blocked two kicks, scored a touchdown, and forced four turnovers. No shit.
Okay, I'm not discrediting them. I'm just saying, like, when Deshaun Watson has the game, they have not played that good.
You said that they should bench Deshaun Watson and tank.
I never said they should bench him. I said he was playing better. He was better. I never said they should bench him. I said they would potentially be better if they actually decided to tank and played him out the rest of the season. Regardless if they had Deshaun Watson, they could still tank, and they would be better off drafting Caleb Williams and going away from Deshaun Watson.
So they're 4-2 right now. So you're saying they're not going to win another game and still get the number one pick? You're sitting at 4-2 with a historic defense. You put in the quarterback that you spent $400 million on.
But he's not producing, though, regardless of him being hurt. He's not producing.
Because he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been healthy all year. And you're starting running back towards ACL week two. And his MCL. His knee snapped in half, and you're sitting at 4-2. And you can't blame P.J. Walker for that. It's the defense. The defense is at a historic pace. The defense is allowing 200 yards a game. They haven't let up over fucking 1,500 yards through week 7 of the NFL season. You credit the defense, and you put Deshaun Watson in at quarterback, you could win the AFC North.
All right. Here it is. We have 30 seconds each way. Final remarks. Stav, you go starting now.
Okay. So you have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback. Deshaun Watson, in the games that he's been healthy, has done a great job in keeping them in it. Take away the Pittsburgh game, and Pittsburgh's also sitting at 4-2. That team easily could be undefeated right now. The other game that they lost was a DTR in at quarterback, who was fucking atrocious. So those are their two losses right there in the division. And then you beat the Bengals week one. Deshaun Watson was very efficient, along with the fact that that was a shit weather game. Deshaun Watson hasn't really given an opportunity to succeed yet. So that's it. That's where I'm leaving it at.
And Will now.
I just want to start off by saying that this is content. Like, we don't really get this all the time. So, like, I just want to, like, you know, like, poke the bear a little bit. Just engage in some good content. It's sickening to all. The fact that you have to sit there on your fucking phone and look shit up all the time for just to put out an argument against me. Like, why can't we just have a raw argument? Like, just, like, dead ass. So, that's two.
That is a
and
raw three, argument.
Like, let's just have a conversation, man. Like, we're just out here just poking a bear, making a hot take. Like I said, this is a hot take. We don't have to, like, make it all nonsense and stuff, but I'm just keeping it a buck.
30 seconds. Now moving on. It's going to be a tough point to move on from. How about we do it with y'all's team getting a big win? We want to talk about, a quarterback. How about Mac Jones going out there, 272 yards, 2 touchdowns, game-winning drive. I was there. You guys were not at this game, but you guys are fans of this team. So, Stav, I'll let you take the mic.
That was a good win. I like how they put Michael Wenu at right tackle, and that's a move that they need to keep up with because Darian Lowe is a domestic terrorist. What he's done to this organization will never be forgotten. And the guards played well. The offensive line held up. And once the offensive line holds up, it proves what Mac Jones can do. I'm not saying Mac Jones is going to go out there and win MVP, but he gets the job done. He passed for over 200 yards. He had 2 touchdown passes with probably the best win in Mac Jones' career. I didn't search those stats up. And he led them down on a game-winning drive, probably the first time in his career that he's done that since that Houston game in his rookie year where they ended up kicking the field goal. So This was the biggest win in his career. This is Mac Jones' best game of his career. And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep up this momentum going into next week, because Buffalo's had our number ever since Brady left. We have not competed well against Buffalo. The only time that we have was when that monsoon was going on in Buffalo. We ended up winning that game, what, 17 to 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very good to see this team rebound when expectations were down. When the chips are down and you rise up, you have great performances out of Zeke and Ramondre. DeMario Douglas had his best game of his career as well. He finally got the target share. Kendrick Bourne did his thing. He had that fumble, which almost proved costly, but Bills go down and score. Patriots respond, score with, what, 5 seconds left, 10 seconds left, 13 seconds, actually. I remember that meme. And it was good to see. It felt good to have a good win like that where all phases of the ball play well. Shout out to Jabril Peppers, our best player on defense.
Yeah. Well, give me a couple defensive guys here.
I mean, I want to talk about Miles Bryant. He sucks. All right. Everyone on this team played great. He sucked. And that's really, like, Stav covered most of this for this game. And, I mean, we shared some stuff on Sunday, too. Like, I remember texting him saying, like, I can't believe that this is happening. Like, granted, like, at this point in the game, like, at the end of the game, even though we already had to score the touchdown, I felt like we were still going to lose the game. It felt like we were going to lose the game at all points, no matter how much we were up. I'm very proud of this team. This team came out there and beat the Buffalo Bills. Was not expecting that at all. I mean, turning the game on Sunday, I was preparing for defeat. So I'm happy that we got a win. Mac Jones looked great. Like you said, Stav had the best game of his career, I believe, on that. I honestly was just pure shock the entirety of the time because I've just never seen anything like this. Like, we actually looked decent. Granted that the Bills didn't really show up completely, and they kind of made more moves towards the second half and cut this game a lot closer, which once made me feel like we were going to lose this game. But I mean, everyone on this team showed up except for Miles Bryant, as usual.
Shout out Jack Jones, he's back. I just wanted to mention him too. I forgot.
Yeah, and I didn't know he was back, but you could tell early in the game that he was back, which is always a good sign when you know a guy is on the team but you think he's injured. And sometimes, like, he'll come back, you don't know it until, like, late in the game. You knew he was back in the first quarter, which is a good sign. It means he's out there, he's making plays, flying around. And it's weird because it really just was an all-around, like, good Patriot win. Mac Jones went out there, had a hell of a day, and to have that game-winning drive under his belt is awesome, especially when the run game isn't doing that great. I don't really like the split carries. Ramondre Stevenson obviously wasn't doing that great. Zeke was kind of doing his thing. If it's somebody's day, if somebody has the hot hand, give it to him. I think Zeke should have been in there for a few more touches. If Ramondre's, not doing it that day and Zeke is, why not give him a chance to go out there and maybe break one loose? I think that's why the run game didn't work out. But everything that they lost in the run, they gained, and then some in the air. Kendrick Bourne, like you said, Stav had a great day, gave me 26 points of fantasy. Nobody cares. And all around, it just a great win. DeMario Douglas literally put in effort in all facets of the game. You saw him on special teams. You saw him running the ball. You saw him receiving, making big plays late in games. And this team, like, you see what they're capable of if they go out there and they play this brand of football. And they can get that run game going a lot more than they did. Once they get healthy on that offensive line, the Patriots are a very solid team. Now they're sitting at 2-5. It's obviously great to get your second win of the season. You have two very tough wins under your belt. It's a tough team, exactly what you expected out of this New England team. I'm going to skip over a few games here. Obviously, the Commanders play the Giants. Nobody even knew about that. The Falcons beat the Bucks. I guess we'll talk a little bit about this game here. A three-point game, and this is, I want to say, the theme of the year, where it's like these teams, it's the Falcons, the Bucks, the Packers, the Broncos, the Saints, I'm even almost going to put in that category at this point. In 3 weeks, I bet they will definitely be in this category, where it's just a blank area of teams playing against each other, and they can be good games, and this game wasn't terrible. And I kind of just expected Baker to go out there and win this game. Ritter goes out there, doesn't throw a pick, still fumbles three times. That's kind of embarrassing. And not only to do that, but win the game, that's big for them. I'm not really sure what this Falcons team is and what they can do. But if they were to be in any division right now, I bet they'd want to be in the NFC South. They just got a big win. And you know, like, who is it? It's not going to be the Panthers, and the Saints are as vulnerable as ever. So the Falcons, why not? I mean, you could, this could truly be if the Saints don't pan out, there could be a team in the playoffs with an under 500 record.
Well, I don't understand what the Falcons did this game by benching Bijan Robinson, and now they're getting investigated by the NFL because they didn't put him on the injury report. Yeah, but they didn't put him on the injury report, so they're getting investigated by him or
by
the NFL.
Though, because he did. Why would he get? He technically did play. Played six snaps.
Exact. It was a exact. It's a weird thing. But if he was hypothetically sick, and it really comes down to the NFL's gambling rights and their partnership with DraftKings, and that's why they're mad.
No,
about
oh
it.
Yeah, no, trust me, I know, because oh my god, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I had $10 to win $250, and on everything I love, all I needed was a Bijan touchdown. I didn't know he was gonna fucking play. That was the last thing I needed.
That's probably where it comes down to. If he was feeling unhealthy, then they probably should have put him as questionable or something along those lines. Or reported something that he wasn't feeling well. They didn't. So now they're getting investigated because it could open up a whole rabbit hole with how the Falcons are using the injury report. If they're putting players who aren't injured on it, who, you know, vice versa, however that may be. So it's a weird spot. The Falcons are a weird team. I really don't care for the Falcons right now.
Weird team. I mean, I feel like this game trended in direction for more than what the game was because of Bijan Robinson. I mean, Kyle Pitts had a few catches. It seemed like he's getting back and active again, finally, in his career. But this was a weird game. And having three red zone turnovers, and I believe they're all fumbles, too, which was crazy.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, the story of him is that he throws picks in the red zone. And, like, the whole thing was, oh, like, they won because – he didn't throw a red zone pick, but he actually fumbled in the red zone three times. So you could argue that that's worse. Crazy that they still got the win. And just a frisky team, I guess. You know, no Bijan. You go out there with Algier, who didn't even really have a great day. There was nothing good about this team in this game, in my opinion. They still went out there and won the game. And, you know, we've been talking about a couple of teams. We just had two, you could say, shitters back-to-back. How about we talk about a good game here? Another NFC versus AFC. We're going to go to Baltimore. We're going to travel into Baltimore and tap into the mind of what Dan Campbell was thinking this past weekend when losing by 30-plus points. I cannot believe this. Jared Goff goes out there, almost throws for 300 yards, doesn't get in the end zone once, throws a pick. Jahmyr Gibbs is starting to seem like the worst running back of all time to me. If there's no – hear me out, because – this Lions team is legit, and you go out there without David Montgomery, it's Jahmyr Gibbs' time to shine, you give him 11 touches, and he goes out there and he does nothing with it. He gets his first touchdown ever, congratulations, it's like week fucking eight. It's either they're not using him like how they're supposed to, or he's just the biggest lie of all time, because he should be a difference maker in this game, and when he goes in and scores his first touchdown of the season, how do they lose this game 38-6? I mean, this is supposed to be one of the most complete teams in the league. This is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the league. To go out there and give up 38 points to Lamar Jackson, give up 350-plus yards, three touchdowns, no picks to Lamar Jackson, and, you know, he was an MVP. We haven't seen him throw the ball like this in a few years now, and it's scaring me for the NFC North. There's a lot of, or for the AFC North, excuse me. You know, we mentioned some teams being 4-2, the Baltimore Ravens at the top of this division at 5-2. J.K. Dobbins out, Gus Edwards stepping in, filling in that role. They're still running the hell out of the ball. They're getting the ball in the air finally. Well, could the Baltimore Ravens win the Super Bowl? I think they could. I'll lead you with that.
I mean, I think they're shaping up to win the AFC North. I think they have a chance to make a good run in the playoffs. And I think they have a chance of even getting there. I feel like a lot of teams in the AFC, but the AFC is really just like a coin flip at this point. Like, there's so many teams that are emerging and kind of breaking in. And, like, I feel like this is the first time the Ravens kind of came out there and, like, kind of showed who they can really be, full potential, like Zay Flowers was out there doing his thing. I mean, Rashad Bateman caught a few passes. I think he caught more passes than he caught prior to this game. And on Sunday. The Lions looked awful. I mean, I had them as my lock of the week. I had them plus three. That didn't even come close to helping me. I don't even, like, the Lions side is a complete blur to me. I don't even know what was going on that front. But the Ravens team looked real legit. Their defense looked solid. Granted, they only let up 6 points, and their offense is really putting it together. Lamar looked like MVP Lamar again, and he was doing his thing.
Yeah, the Ravens look good. I'm going to give more credit to the Ravens than I am going to discredit the Lions. I think that the kryptonite of this Lions team might be getting in big holes early. And I feel like we're not giving enough credit to how good the linebackers of the Baltimore Ravens are. When you have Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, you have the best linebacking tandem in the NFL, in my opinion. And Jared Goff, ever since he was in L.A., benefits from play-action pass, right? And when you have those linebackers who can still sell out the run and make it back into coverage for play action, it gives Jared Goff a world of problems. And you start off the game, it goes punt, touchdown, punt, touchdown, punt, touchdown. So you didn't really have an opportunity to get into your game plan, right? You're down 28-0 at half. So shit had to change. And I don't feel like they're using Jahmyr Gibbs correctly, Griff. I don't really want to blame him for it, because the defense was just atrocious today. They were awful. This is probably the worst we've seen the defense play for the Detroit Lions all season. And, you know, like you said, Lamar Jackson made a statement in this game. He went out and he dominated. He threw for 3 touchdowns, over 300 yards. Didn't have any turnovers, I don't believe. And they did their thing. They're looking like a real competitor in the AFC, especially the NFL. And I can see them winning the Super Bowl, to be honest. Out of the first 7 games, they lost to the Steelers. And who else did they lose to? There's one more loss on that repertoire. Who the hell else did they lose to? The Colts. That's right. With the that was just a whack game. So, yeah, you're playing well. Keep up the momentum. I think they have a decently tough schedule coming forward if they can prevail. I have Baltimore winning the AFC.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, we'll talk about their weapons and Bateman and Flowers. Those are going to be pivotal guys in that receiving core, because you're not going to get much out of OBJ the rest of the year. Mark Andrews, obviously the security blanket of that team, really came through this week, and he played a very big role in this win. So they need to keep getting the ball to him. It's simple. When he has the ball in his hands, this Ravens team does very good. And it opens up that run game. It opens up the seams. It really lets this team do what they do at their absolute best. Lamar Jackson, we're going to see him on the ground a lot more in the next coming weeks. We're going to move on, though, to another AFC North win against an NFC team. We have the Steelers traveling to Los Angeles, traveling to SoFi, and taking down the Rams at home, 24-17. My notes from this game was there was one throwing touchdown. It was a awesome touchdown to Tutu Atwell in the front left corner of the end zone, where the ball kind of looks like it was underthrown, but it really gave Tutu like the best chance to kind of undercut the DBs, get into the end zone. It was awesome. Other than that, I don't think there was a touchdown that was more than 15 yards outside, and I think three of them were a yard. I think three of them were 1 yard. It was atrocious. I hated every moment of this game. I hate the Rams and I hate the Steelers. It's as simple as that. I don't like either teams. I hate the Rams. I don't even want to talk about the Rams.
Yeah, there's not much to say about this game. The running backs for the Steelers were okay. Kenny Pickett got stuffed on that 3rd and inches, and they gave him the first down when he was clearly short. That would have changed. Yeah, they might have they switched the call. Who knows how that game ends? But, this game was mediocre. I think these are two mediocre teams, but the Steelers are sitting at 4-2. Like I said, you'd rather have a shitty win and be 4-2 than a good loss and be 3-3.
It's another shit game. I mean, obviously the Steelers being 4-2, I feel like that's the only takeaway we can really take from this game. Both teams didn't really play that good at all. I really think that just there's no statement that was made at all. I feel like this is a big week for teams to really go out there and kind of show who they are. We're reaching that point in the season. So this game really didn't show any of that for either team who've had their highs and lows this season.
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin just went out there and out-hearted McVay because McVay is a robot. We're going to skip the Packers and Broncos game, too, because I don't care. Will doesn't care. Stav doesn't care. And all you people listening, you don't care. We're going to move on to the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And you can say all you want about this game. You can say, oh, well, the Cardinals covered the first half spread and the Seahawks only put up 20 points. This was a fantastic win for the Seattle Seahawks. This is exactly what we needed. We were nervous going into this point. The Rams, who were frisky at the beginning of the season, are now sitting at 1-6. And in a game where you don't have DK Metcalf, where you need Kenneth Walker to really come through on the ground, he doesn't find himself in the end zone. But we did it all in the air. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, congratulations. First NFL touchdown. Jake Bobo, holy shit, what a catch. Those are our two leading receivers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, our first round wide receiver, and Jake Bobo, our undrafted free agent wide receiver. Wow.
They cut Malik.
Wow. Malik Cunningham has been waived by the Patriots.
Wow.
Early prediction, who signs him? One team, Will.
Miami.
First team that comes to me. Miami, stop. Stop Miami, Will.
Broncos.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to
go. Well, he got arrested.
What?
Or he got, like, arrested or something because it doesn't make any sense why you would sign him to a 3-year deal and then cut him a week later.
Yeah, maybe something's happening internally.
Or they're making room
for somebody. That's the case. I'm going to go – oh, I like the Denver pick. I'm going to go Las Vegas. Okay, back to the Seahawks. Last thing I want to say about this game, there's really not too much because it's not like anybody really went out there and was like, wow, this was a superstar performance. This was just an overall great team win. And you can't put it on anybody on the offense because of how well this defense played in this game. Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks are a top five linebacker duo in this league. Jamal Adams, two games straight without getting injured. That's a personal best in the past 4 years. Devin Witherspoon with the hit stick, obviously everybody saw. This is why we drafted him. A lot of people were talking about a lot of corners in the first round of this draft, and some corners just don't hit like the way that Devin Witherspoon does. That's why he's a real good fit in Seattle. He's out there. He's a team player, and he's going to be special. Defensive rookie of the year, no doubt about it. I put it in 2 weeks ago. It's not leaving. Tariq Woolen's given me not a lot to cheer for so far this year, but I trust him to hold it down. The Seattle Seahawks are Super Bowl contenders. Say I'm wrong. They're going out there and they're winning big games. The 49ers have dropped two straight. The Rams lost again. We're in a good spot. If we can beat the 49ers, if we can win this division, all it takes is four wins.
Yeah. I wouldn't put Cardinals in big win consideration.
That's a big divisional win. That's like if you guys were to have beaten the Dolphins the last week of the year every single year that you play them. When we play the Cardinals early in the season, we get shit on. That's when we have the big Doug Baldwin games. That's why Jake Bobo is here now.
I will put the legit stamp on the Seahawks if they compete with the 49ers. I think they need to split. I'll give them that legit. As of right now,
4-2.
It was a bad game against the Bengals, obviously. And
it was a rough game. DK lost.
I'm just saying. Like that was a legit test and they failed. And you come back. DK being ruled out kind of skews my opinion on this game a little bit. He pisses me off. I mean, I started him. No one gives a fuck about my fantasy team, but that's the reason why I lost. Because I started him and then the 1 o'clock slate started and then he got ruled out probably an hour before the game and I lost by 5 points. And I would have put in Kendrick Bourne, who had like 20 points. So no one gives a fuck about my fantasy team, but that's what happened. That's why I also hate DK Metcalf. Jake Bobo's sick. Congrats on finding a cool receiver again. Shout out JSN, like you said. Kenneth Walker is proving himself right? And Devin Witherspoon's one of the hardest hitting corners in the NFL. So the upside is there. I just want them to pass a legit test. That's where I'm at right now with the Seahawks.
Deal. 2 weeks, Ravens.
Deal. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's a legit test. That's a legit test. If they beat the Ravens, I will put a legit stamp on them. They don't
it's
even
gonna
have
to be awesome. No, it's going to be awesome because we're going to play the Browns next week. We're going to beat them. It's going
to
be nuts.
If you lose to the Browns,
we'll get into it. We'll get into it. We'll get into it later, but we're going to beat them. And then we're going to go out and beat the Ravens. We're going to be 7-2, and I'm going to be on my high horse, and we might finish the season 7-10. Moving on, we want to talk about a disappointment. The Chargers, week in and week out, you just always think that they have a chance, and then something happens. And it's time to – I mean, just clear everything. I want to move back to San Diego. I don't want Kellen Moore. I don't want Staley. I don't want the Powder Blues. I do want the Powder Blues. I don't want the Royal Blues. I just want to be the San Diego Chargers again, Will. Is that too much to ask for?
I mean, we can hit a quick throwback a year ago, obviously, a couple days ago. We were in L.A. for a Chargers game, and we want to take a throwback to the hotel post-game when we were having some dinner before our flight back, and that man went on a rant about how the Chargers should go back to San Diego after we took a tough loss. And once again, we took a tough loss, and we're speaking about how they should go back to San Diego. Kellen Moore sucks.
It's always this time of the year, huh? That means they have to rattle. They're probably going to lose. This is without looking at their schedule. They're probably going to lose next week, maybe lose a tough one the week after that, and then string off a few wins, and we're going to be like, ah, shit. And then they're not going to make the playoffs.
I really did not like how we had the early bye week this year. I think a late bye week would have been great. We could have gotten a culture change like halfway through the season and just like maybe rode out whoever we got left going to step up.
As simple as that, the Chiefs improve into, you know, who we think they're going to be. And we move on to another game, Sunday Night Football, a game of two teams that are Super Bowl contenders between the Miami Dolphins and the Eagles. The Eagles debuting their Kelly Green jerseys, a fantastic look. And as they looked, they played. They won the game, obviously. I basically just have to say that I wrote this down in the docs. The Dolphins shut down their leg. The moment was too big. They were nervous. The pressure was too big. Everything about the moment, they just couldn't handle it. And Tua Tagovailoa isn't clutch. And this isn't like he didn't do anything in the last quarter type thing, because, you know, you expect the Eagles to turn it up in the second half. But just throughout the game, you know, you got to come out there, especially as the away team, and give them a punch in the mouth. Where was it in this game? There wasn't one. Tyreek Hill was trying to do his thing, trying to break loose. But at the end of the day, the tush push reigned supreme. It was awful to watch. It was everything that everybody wanted. That's like it just pissed me off. It's like the Taylor Swift shit. The Taylor Swift shit is intertwined into the tush push or the brotherly shove. I hate it. I feel like it's all a marketing scheme. I feel like the Eagles stop a yard short on purpose every single time. They did it three times in that final drive to seal the game. It's so like, we get it. You can do it and nobody can stop it. But, like, why don't you at least just, like, one time out of those – because it was three times. One time out of those three times, say, screw it. You fake it in. Pitch it back to DeAndre Swift, and he goes and gets you 50 yards. It's going to happen because everybody thinks they know what's coming. Just switch it up once. Just once. They do it every single time. I hate it. It's going to get banned because the NFL bans everything that works. And their motto is, if you can't beat it, then figure it out. Like, figure out how to beat it. I understand that. I get that. I like it. But – I mean, they won the game off that at the end. Or controlled the game. They won the game. The Miami Dolphins shit down their leg. The moment was too big and they crumbled.
I blame a lot, I guess. I don't think – how do I want to phrase this? I'm not putting frauds on the Dolphins yet, but they're yet to win in a good game, right? They've struggled against decent teams, and they've lost their two games where they haven't an opponent above a 500 record, right? They get smacked by the Bills and you lose by double digits against the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. If they lose this week against the Patriots, then they're officially frauds. And they're 5-2, right? So their five wins off my dome piece is week one, you beat You beat the Chargers, who suck, and then you beat the Patriots week two, and then you get smacked by the Bills. You beat
the Panthers. No, they put up 50 against the Broncos, and then they got smacked by the Bills.
Oh yeah, you beat the Broncos.
Who they put up 70. They beat them by 50.
Yeah. So those are you're sitting at. That's three wins right there, and then you get smacked by the Broncos. You get smacked by the Bills, and then you beat the Panthers not convincingly, and then you beat the Giants. Like, those are your wins, and then you lose to the Eagles. So, it's all right. You do what you're supposed to against the teams that you're supposed to do good things against, and that's what they've done. But they haven't proved it against a good team yet. But they also haven't had a good team at home yet. So maybe that's a little bit of the skew there. They have the Chiefs in Germany in 2 weeks.
I've never seen a team get more 4th-and-1 or 1-yard opportunities in a game in my life, in every game, and I just don't understand. Like, I swear to God, every time I looked at the screen Sunday night, it was 4th-and-1 Eagles tush push. Every time I looked, it was actually haunting. I also am so sick of the Dolphins narrative where they go out and win like a game by a lot and like, oh, big game. And then they like lose like in this fashion. It's just like, can we pick a side to like be on as like just everyone on the Dolphins? Like, I feel like no one, like, they're totally going to end up being kind of fraudulent. I believe like they're on pace to be fraudulent. I'm totally there with that. It's just whether or not like everyone's going to be ready to be like, are they actually fraudulent? And then like, I don't know. They're just, weird time. There's so many different words for this Dolphins team, because like what even are they? Like, actually, like, they go out there and put up 70 on the Broncos and they lose to the Eagles 31-17, like, and then the Bills, like, how does that happen?
No, you're right, they haven't proved themselves, and until they do prove themselves, we're gonna sit around with this team and not believe in them. So excuse me, until they really go out there, beat a good team, and even this game against the Patriots that they have next week, we're expecting a win from them. If they don't take this game and do what they're supposed to do with it, they're playing the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
At home especially, then you can't believe them at all. We'll wrap things up here with Monday Night Football. My lock of the week, the 49ers. I predicted it. We'll lose this game. I put my lock of the week. I put my lock of the week on them to curse them. It worked. I won this game. Stop.
Yeah, shout out to you. Congratulations. Brock Purdy sold me my fantasy game. Like I said, no one gives a fuck about my fantasy team. But, fuck the 49ers right now. I'm pissed at Brock Purdy. Shout out to Jordan.
As simple as that. Will, you mentioned you lost your lock of the week. I mentioned I lost my lock of the week. Stav also lost. Packers -1. Stav still ahead, though, 5-2. Will, 3-4, under 500, joining me. Chicago Bears level 1-5-1. We're going to move things on here. We have some rapid-fire picks here for NFL Week 8, starting on Thursday night. The Buccaneers versus the Bills. Bills favored by -8.5. I'm going to get things started here. I have the Buccaneers coming off a tough loss last week. I think that they come back. They don't win this game, but I think that they lose within a touchdown. I like the Bucs to cover the spread a lot in this game. Stav, how about you?
I love the Bills. Coming off a shit game, you expect them to bounce back. I have the Bills here. I have Josh Allen kind of doing his thing and proving that they're still frauds by beating a mediocre team.
Last second change here, but honestly, I've been on the wave of the teams taking a loss in which the Bills just took. I mean, did it again with the Dolphins, and they lost the next game. I feel like they're just setting themselves up for a big win against the Bucs team. Bucs aren't too great, but I also can definitely see the side. I mean, I had the Bucs before literally 5 seconds ago. I can definitely see them covering because the Bills have been playing a little bit weird, but I think this also can set the Bills up for a big game, so I'm going to take the Bills by saying that.
All right, moving on to Sunday, we got a game between the Rams and the Cowboys. The Cowboys are favored by -6.5, just less than a touchdown. We are all taking Dallas in this game, coming off a bye week, expecting that offense to get their things off the road. And I'm especially expecting their defense to really come through in this game. We got to see what those wide receivers on Los Angeles do. They're very frisky, but we all have the Cowboys covering, obviously winning this game as well. Moving on, an NFC North matchup. between the Vikings and the Packers. This spread is even. Will, get us started.
I'm going with the Packers here. I think the Packers are due for a good win. Spread is even, so obviously pick them. But I think the Packers are due for a good win. They're at home against the Vikings. They need to get a divisional win as well. I think this is an important game. I think they get the job done.
I have the Vikings here. I think that they're building off of what they did on Monday night against the 49ers. Kirk Cousins didn't get hit once, so they changed something up on the offensive line front. Jordan Addison is going to be too much for this Packers secondary to handle. You can't guard the Broncos receivers. You can't guard Jordan Addison. I have the Vikings here.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the Packers here. The spread is even. I think it really is a toss-up of a game. It's just about who's going to have a better day between those two quarterbacks. I'm going to give it to Jordan Love in this case. I'm going to go with the Packers here. I think that this is going to be one of the better games of the weekend. I think that this might be a high-scoring game. Don't know what the line is of the over-under, but I'm going to take it right here. Whatever it is, I'm taking the over in this game. Moving on, we have a bout between the Falcons and the Titans. Atlanta traveling to Nashville, favored by 2 points. Exactly for that reason, I'm going to take the home dog Titans. Desmond Ridder is a home warrior. And with that being said, how can you win so many games at home and, you know, still have such a bad record? It's because of how bad he is on the road. Tennessee, a home dog. You got to believe in Tannehill. You got to believe in, shout out Mike Vrabel, being inducted to the Patriots Hall of Fame this past weekend, had a speech at halftime of this game. I'm going to go with the Titans. Vrabel tapped back into the Patriot way. He was smacking all his players in the face during practice if they were messing up all week. We're back to business. I'm going to go with the Titans. Will?
I'm also going with the Titans. The trade deadline's on the come by, I believe, on Tuesday. I think Derrick Henry is going to have a big day, and he's going to get chipped off. And I think this is going to be his time to go out there, show what he has left to prove, what's left in the tank, and he's going to go to a contender and do his thing. I'm going with the Titans.
The Titans quarterback situation kind of scares me, as it always does, but they're not ruling a starter because it's either going to be Malik Willis or Will Levis. They traded away Kevin Byard yesterday to the Eagles. We kind of forgot to mention that. It's a big move for the Eagles. They're selling off pieces, right? And it's a weird spot. The Falcons take advantage of weird games, and I have the Falcons covering this one.
Update, if it's Willis starting, I could never bet on Malik Willis in my life. Moving on to the Saints at the Colts. The Colts coming off a very impressive win.
They lost.
The Saints? Oh, they lost by one. And a very impressive loss from Gardner Minshew, the shimmy god. I'm sorry. To be fair, I was at the Patriots game this week. Anyways, two teams coming off a loss. At the end of the day, the Saints are the better team. They are on the road. They are not favored. We are all taking the Saints in this game. Moving on. The Patriots traveling to Miami. Miami favored by 9.5. This is a surprising pick. All of us are taking the Dolphins. I'll lay it out real quick, and then I'll let you guys talk about it real quick. I'm only taking the Dolphins because of how good the Patriots were last week and how bad Miami was this week. I think that they go out there, they put up a lot of numbers in Miami, or in New England, just cannot match that offense. That's all I think is going to happen.
Yeah. On a realistic level, I mean, the Dolphins are a better team. But an interesting stat that we forgot to mention as well, the Patriots haven't let up 100 yards to any receiver at any point in this season, and that's an interesting stat to go on. I think that that's going to continue, and I'm just taking the Dolphins because it seems as if the Patriots always counteract my picks. So.
Fair. Super fair. We have a battle of MetLife Stadium this weekend. I mean, come on. The Jets, the Giants. Jets favored by 3. Even though it's at the Giants, like, this is one of the rare ones where it's like, what does home field mean in this game? I don't know. We're all going to take the Jets in this game. Tyrod Taylor starting this week again?
I don't know yet.
I think if it's Daniel Jones, the Jets win by 10 at least. And I think if it's Tyrod Taylor, it's going to be a better game and the Jets still cover. We all have the Jets covering in this game. Another game that we all have teams covering in is the Jags covering 2.5 on the road against the Steelers. I'll keep this road going. Philly favored by 6.5 on the road at Washington. We all have the Philadelphia Eagles. How about another one? The Texans at the Panthers. The Panthers haven't won a game. We're predicting that to stay the same. We're predicting Houston to cover the 3-point spread. Moving on, we have a game between the Browns and the Seahawks at Lumen Field, Seattle, favored by 3 points. Seahawks in this game. I have the Seahawks. I think that this is a big week for their offense. And like I said, they're going to go out. They're going to win this week. They're going to beat the Ravens. We're going to be 7-2, and it's going to be so much fun. Will, you're with me on the Seahawks. What are we thinking here?
I love the under. I think it's going to be a defensive bout on Sunday. That's pretty much my big takeaway.
All right. Stop.
I like the Browns here. I don't think that the Seahawks offensive line can keep up with this Browns team. And if it's going to come down to a battle of the defenses, I got to take the Browns here. The Browns defense is historic. I can't say that enough. The stats they've put up thus far, it's hard for me to really pick against them. And if you can have a stable offense, if Deshaun Watson can go out, stay healthy, and continue to just kind of push the narrative, it's going to be hard with Jerome Ford, but they have a plethora of running backs there with Kareem Hunt, Pierre Strong, who can manage the workload. And if your defense can set you up for success, it's going to be hard for the Seahawks to kind of match that defensive intensity. I have the Browns plus 3.
Very fair. Moving on, AFC West matchup between the Chiefs and the Broncos in Denver. Kansas City favored by 8 points. We all have them covering the spread in this game. Patrick Mahomes has looked very good, has been getting it to different guys who are absolutely just awful at football. But, you know, they're getting the job done, and that defense is really elite, and that's what they're going to be working around in this game. We all have the Chiefs covering the spread in this game. Another game between the Bengals and the 49ers, San Fran favored by 5.5. We all have the Bengals covering the spread on the road in this game. So pretty interesting to see what's going to formulate out of that. We're going to move on here between a game with the Ravens, who we talked about earlier in this episode, and the Cardinals, who took a tough loss last week. Baltimore favored by 8.5. Stav, Will, you guys have the Ravens. Let me hear the thoughts.
I love the Ravens. I think that they're going to continue the momentum, and I think that we're going to kind of see a decline in the offensive production until Kyler Murray gets back for this Cardinals team. I mean, they only put up 10 points last week, and it's a tough situation for the Cardinals. I think that the Ravens go in. I think they continue their momentum, and I think that they put up a big win similar to what they did last week against the Lions.
I think this is the perfect opportunity for the Ravens to keep the momentum rolling, and especially after a big statement win from Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against the Lions. I think this is a great team to go out there and get another win. I think they're going to do it with ease, and they're going to keep the ball moving.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals in this game. Cardinals at home. Ravens coming off a big win. Just the way that the season has been going this year, it's so unpredictable. I think that the spread is a lot, and I like the value in taking the Cardinals with the points in this game. Moving on to Sunday Night Football. Welcome back to primetime Los Angeles. The Chargers at home against the Bears. Chargers favored by 8.5. We are all taking the Bears in this. It's just a lot of points. It's a lot of points here. Even if they win this game, the Chargers just haven't looked good at all this season. The next primetime game as well, we have the Raiders, who were awful last week, taking on the Lions. Lions favored by 8, some big spreads this week. We are all taking the Lions in this game. Moving on to our locks of the week, our best bets, our biggest picks. I am 1-5-1, so I'm going to get us started here from the bottom of the standings. I'm going to take the Texans minus 3. They're going up against the Panthers, who are 0-6. You know, they got to get a win at some point. I don't think it happens this week. I think that this is a big week for the defense of the Texans. I have an anytime touchdown defense / special teams for the Houston Texans. Will?
I'm going to take the Jags minus 2.5 against the Steelers. Obviously, the Steelers improving to 4-2 on the season. I think this actually might be one of the better games of the week. I'm just not too fond of the Steelers DBs. I think Calvin Ridley is going to go out there and kind of show what he's got left in the tank after having some few disappointing weeks after week one. And I think the Jags make a statement here this week and take it on minus 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the Ravens minus 8.5. Will and I said what we had to say about this game before. It's a perfect opportunity for them. I have Lamar over passing yards in this. And I have Cardinals team total under. I don't know what it is, but I'm taking them.
All right. Well, jam-packed episode. We hope you guys enjoyed. We will catch you guys later in the week for some hockey, some baseball, and some basketball. Anything else? Am I missing anything in there? No, right?
College sports, if we're going to.
College football. College football. No college basketball yet, but we'll throw college football in there, too. We hope you guys enjoyed. We will catch you then, and peace.
Peace.